I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about Jesuits, evangelicals, and illegal immigration. Jesuits, evangelicals, and illegal immigration. This is a disturbing trend that is and really has emerged. It's actually been going on for a number of years within the evangelical churches. I've talked on the program before about how the Catholic Church is most definitely behind illegal immigration, not only illegal immigration from Mexico, but also the mass migration of Muslims from third world countries. That is something that the Church of Rome in this country is paid millions of dollars every year to help facilitate in this country. They get government money to resettle Islamic refugees here in the United States. Now, of course, we believe all of this has to do with the Vatican's post-World War II program from the 1960s, from Vatican Council II, to advance the cause of Islam in the Western world, and really to use Islam as a weapon against Western civilization. That's what I believe. I've talked about on the program before. But today we're going to talk about how evangelicals are being brought in to support the illegal immigration agenda. We're going to listen to some of the dialogue here from this video. I'm going to play a little bit of it. What they're doing in the video, it's all of these female preachers, and they are all quoting from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. That's the whole agenda, is to give the impression that if you reject illegal immigrants coming into the country, then somehow or other you're violating the commandment and the standard of Jesus Christ. Let's listen to part of it.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him,
he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will gather before him,
and he will separate the people one from another,
as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats.
He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left.
Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come,
you who are blessed by my Father.
Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.
For I was hungry and you gave me food.
I was thirsty and you gave me drink.
I was a stranger.
Fui extranjero.
Nagade teasute.
I was a stranger and you welcomed me."
All right, so let's stop it there. You can see the overwhelming influence on the idea of "I was a stranger and you welcomed me," or as it would say in the King James, "I was a stranger and you took me in." And of course, they're emphasizing this, and then they have a woman come in and say it in Spanish and this kind of thing. Why? Because it's all aimed at illegal immigration. That supposedly, if you oppose illegal immigration, and if you require or desire that the laws of our country, our immigration laws, are upheld and enforced, then somehow or other, you're violating the standard of Christ. That's the message there, the overarching message. Now, the women, the evangelical women who are part of this, include Beth Moore. You've got Ann Voskamp. I've talked about her on the program before. Kay Warren, the wife of Rick Warren. And then others. You've got, disappointingly, you've got Joni Erickson Tada, who's also a part of this crew. Surprisingly, I would not have thought she would have done something like this, but she's a part of it. She's one of the evangelical women who are part of this this whole message that is about welcoming refugees And it says, at the very end, it says, quote, discover what the Bible says about welcoming strangers, welcomingimmigrants.org. And it points you to that website, Welcoming Immigrants. Now, I showed you the first half of it, or I played part of the first half of it. There is a video that goes with it. If you look it up online, you can find it on the Pulpit and Pen website. But there's a video that goes with it. And then, of course, they do the other side of Matthew 25, where it says, you know, I was a stranger and you took me not in, or you did not welcome me, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it not unto me. And so the way that they are engineering it and pointing it is to suggest that anybody who's not welcoming illegal immigrants into the country or welcoming the flood of Muslims into America is somehow or other operating contrary to the teachings of Christ. I've called the show Jesuits, Evangelicals, and Illegal Immigration. And the reason is because this message here from these evangelical women is virtually identical to what you find from the Jesuits in their America magazine, The Jesuit Review. And this is from last year, January 2017. There's an article in America magazine that literally says, quote, I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Okay, this is a Jesuit publication 1 year ago, well, just over a year ago, January 28th. Now, this is from James Martin S.J., who is a very prominent Jesuit. And of course, he promotes homosexuality. He's got the book talking about the bridge between the church and the gay community, that it's time for the church to stop tolerating gays and to welcome them and embrace them. So just so we understand, this is very, very Jesuitical manipulation of scripture. But is it accurate? They show a picture here on the Jesuit website of these women who are holding pamphlets and whatnot and standing outside a wall. And of course, it's not just any wall. It's the U.S.-Mexico border fence in San Diego during the 23rd Posada. Posada Without Borders, they call it. Posada is the commemoration of Joseph and Mary's search for shelter before Christ's birth. So they've been using this idea, the Catholic Church and others are using this idea that Mary and Joseph were immigrants looking for a place to live, and that if you don't welcome the illegal immigrants coming into our country, then you are not welcoming immigrants. You're just like somebody who would reject Mary and Joseph. The problem with that whole narrative, of course, is that it's completely contrary to the biblical account. If you read in the Gospel of Luke, why were Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem? Why did they travel there? Did they go there as illegal immigrants in violation of the law? No, quite the contrary. We read in Luke chapter 2, it says, quote, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. So what Mary and Joseph were doing is they were actually obeying the law. The law required that everyone had to return to their own city of origin and pay the tax to Caesar. So Mary and Joseph were not in rebellion against the law. And if you think about it, it must have been very inconvenient for Joseph and Mary to be traveling when she's 9 months pregnant and about to give birth, for them to have to now put her on a donkey and take her to a completely different location. This was not a convenient thing for them to do, but they did it because they were obeying the law. They were actually obeying the government mandate. They didn't complain about it. I mean, you think about that in contrast to what's going on with illegal immigration. The illegal immigrants are complaining that it just takes too long to fill out the paperwork and wait to come here legally from Mexico. And so supposedly that means they should be allowed to jump the border and just come into our country whenever they want, regardless of the law. It's completely contrary to what we have in the biblical account. And so I think Christians have to be careful not to be taken in by the false example. The real example of Mary and Joseph, if the illegal immigrants wanted to imitate Mary and Joseph, they would all pack their bags and they would go back to their country of origin, because that's what Mary and Joseph did. They obeyed the law and they went back to their city of origin. But let's read the Jesuitical spin on this, which has now been adopted by these evangelical women. Here's the Jesuitical spin here in America Magazine. It says, originally a post on Father James Martin's public Facebook page, this reflection on the call to treat migrants and refugees as Christ went viral. All right, and then they quote again, I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. It says, President Trump has announced that he will order the construction of a Mexican border wall, the first in a series of actions to crack down on immigrants, which will include slashing the number of refugees who can resettle in the United States and blocking Syrians and others from what are called terror-prone nations from entering, at least temporarily. These measures, it says, which mean the rejection of the stranger, the rejection of the person in need, the rejection of those who suffer, are manifestly unchristian and utterly contrary to the gospel. Indeed, last year, Pope Francis said, a person who thinks only about building walls, wherever they may be, and not building bridges, is not Christian. This is not the gospel. End quote. Okay, so you can see the approach that they're taking. Of course, the Pope has been a big supporter of this idea because he's a Jesuit. As I pointed out before, anybody can go online, and I would recommend you do this if you haven't done it yet. Go online and look up Vatican City. Just type in Google, walls around Vatican City. And you look at the massive, I mean, the walls have got to be 50 to 70 feet high, maybe higher. But there are these massive walls all the way around Vatican City. The Pope is not tearing these walls down. They're not inviting anybody and everybody to come and live in Vatican City at all. That is a highly regulated part of the world. They're only going to have people there that they want there. They're not opening their borders. They're not bringing in thousands of families into the Vatican and letting them sleep in all the different rooms of the Vatican and this kind of thing. They're not doing anything like that. All right, then the article here, the Jesuit article, goes on to say, you know, maybe you think you have a right to refuse a person in need, etc. And then it says, we do have the right of self-protection, but refusing the one in need because you want to protect yourself, especially when the other is in desperate need and obvious danger, is not what Christianity is about. And it says it's about the opposite. It's about helping the stranger, even if it carries some risk. That's the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, we are going to examine the parable of the Good Samaritan in light of what the Jesuits and the Catholic bishops in the United States are doing when we come back right after this.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors. But now, Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're talking about the Jesuits, evangelicals, and illegal immigration. Really, we're not just talking about illegal immigration. We're also talking about the mass immigration of Muslims into our country, which we saw right before we went to the break that the Jesuits have a vested interest in. They are very interested in defending against the assertions of the Trump administration, who's been trying to prevent the flood of Muslims into our country so that America does not end up like the situation in Western Europe. And of course, here you have the Jesuit James Martin in his article in America Magazine is trying to make Americans feel guilty about saying no to these Islamic refugees. But it's very interesting that there's no mention that I can see in the article of the fact that the Obama administration specifically denied access to Americans to the Christian refugees who are being raped and murdered and enslaved over there by these Muslim terrorists. And Christians are routinely persecuted by the Muslims in the Middle East. This is a very, very common occurrence. And yet all of the concern from the Jesuits is really just about getting these Muslim refugees into America. All right, but speaking of the refugee programs, you know, before we went to the break, I read the quote there about the Good Samaritan and how this Jesuit publication says that the example of the Good Samaritan is that you help the stranger, even if it means that you are endangering yourself, that's the risk involved. And of course, when you consider collectively what they're saying, yes, let all of the illegal aliens come into the country, knowing that many of these are murderers and rapists and drug dealers and all the rest of it. Let them come in, even if it endangers the population of America. And remember, these are people who put the Pope in the Popemobile so that when he's riding down the street, he's guarded on all sides and this kind of thing. He's got a heavy security team with him everywhere he goes. They're not going to put him at unnecessary risk if they can avoid it. Everything is very, very regulated around the papacy. And yet the general population is supposed to be placed at an unreasonable level of risk. It's almost like leaving the front door to your house unlocked and open and just saying, well, anybody can come in there. Anybody who wants to protect their family, you want to protect your wife and your kids and so on, you're not going to make irresponsible decisions to endanger them. In fact, in the scripture, remember, God says, be ye holy, even as I am holy. The word holy means separate. For Christian people, for God's people to separate themselves from worldliness, from wickedness, etc., is entirely what God commands us to do. In fact, God commanded the children of Israel when they went into the promised land, the holy land, the land separated for God's people, that they were to drive out the pagans. Because God said, if you don't drive them out, they are going to become as a thorn in your side. Their gods will become a snare unto you. So separation is entirely a God-given right. There is no argument that Christian people have to be intermingled with pagans in such a way that they're going to endanger themselves, their families, and their devotion to God. It's quite the opposite. That's why Christians are not allowed to marry a pagan wife or husband. You have to marry another believer. Why? Because if you marry a non-believer, they could draw you away from God. So God says not to do that. All right, but let's go back to the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan parable, you have the man who's set upon by thieves. Now, of course, we agree with being charitable. We agree with reaching out to the poor, the downtrodden, and those who need help. The only question is, exactly how do you do that? There's a way to do that that is wise and sensible, but the entire illegal immigration issue is not about being sensible. Of course, this is a subversive movement. But what happens in the story of the Good Samaritan? The Good Samaritan, verse 35, after he goes to the man who had been harmed, says, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, etc., pouring in oil and wine and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. So that's what the Good Samaritan does. Is that what the Catholic Church is doing in our country? According to the website Refugee Resettlement Watch, no, that's not what they're doing. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops is receiving millions and millions of dollars every year. They are being paid to resettle these refugees in the United States. They're not taking this money out of their own pocket. That's not what's happening. Here, according to Refugee Resettlement Watch, one of the headlines they have is U.S. Catholic bishops received over $95 million from U.S. taxpayers in 2016 for refugee migrant care. $95 million. So they're not paying out money from their own pocket. They are being paid money from the American taxpayer. And they posted a page here from a government document talking about migration and refugee services and programs. And it goes back and it says, since the year 1975, USCCB, that's the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, has entered into various agreements with the United States government to assist in the resettlement of refugees immigrating into the United States and to provide specialized services to particularly vulnerable migrants. And then it goes on. Okay? Then it talks about the financial reimbursements to this Conference of Catholic Bishops. And they're, of course, reimbursed tens of millions of dollars, okay? And the numbers vary, but they go up. And apparently now 2016 seems to have been the highest number. In 2015, they received $80 million total government contracts and grants revenue. And then in 2016, it went up to $95 million that they received. So they're not, just so we understand, they're not paying this money out of their pocket. They're paying the money out of your pocket. All right. And to be fair and reasonable about this, they do make the point here at Refugee Resettlement. It says, for new readers, the USCCB, the Catholic bishops, is one of 9 federal contractors responsible for placing refugees into your hometowns. There are other groups like the Church World Service. There is also a Lutheran group. And other professing Christian groups from the evangelical Protestant communities that are also a part of this. And then, of course, we've had this video now featuring Beth Moore and other evangelical women who are supporting the same idea and essentially making the same argument. This whole idea of being a stranger and relating it to Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to have to do a whole show on this. I've been working on a show to talk about Matthew 25, But where in Matthew 25:43, it says, I was a stranger and you took me in, versus I was a stranger and you took me not in. And of course, they're using a modern translation. I was a stranger and you welcomed me, or you did not welcome me. What is the Lord Jesus Christ really referring to there in Matthew 25? Is this talking about literal strangers within an immigration context? Or is there a greater meaning, a spiritual meaning? Remember, the scripture says, John 4:24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I find it very interesting that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, Paul says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. This is really about welcoming people into the family of God by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. But that's not something that the Jesuits are doing. The Jesuits are occupied with trying to justify all the lies of Islam and to promote the idea of universal theology, uniting all the world religions and giving the impression, falsely, that all religions are somehow or other one and the same and that they all lead to God. That's the great heresy that the Jesuits and Rome are promoting in the world today. All right, we are out of time. We are out of time, folks, so that's going to do it for us today. We're going to do another program on Matthew chapter 25. But until next time, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.